Welcome to the latest episode of Easy with Francesi. Been 2 weeks, we're back again. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing well, thanks, Damien. Yeah, doing well.
Good, good. You're in your room this time, not in your car. I can't see whether it's sunny, what the weather's like. It's picked up here in Stockholm, a whole 11 degrees. So summertime is here. Yeah, so how have you been? What's your training like? What's happened the last 2 weeks?
It's going all right. I managed to have a good week. I've introduced a couple of things. Since we last spoke, I had 5 days where I didn't really do much running at all. My first run back was on Saturday of last week, and I did a run with my group again. I was out for about 40 minutes. Most of that, no, that's not right. That's not right. I take it back. I actually just did about 20 minutes on the Saturday with them. And then walked a little bit, but mostly 20 minutes. The Sunday, I went for a really long walk. So 4 hours. So about 4 hours of walking. It was really good,
Wait,
actually.
what?
Yeah, the weather's become really brilliant. So was outside for that. On the Monday, I did another short run, which was by myself. It's pretty good. Tuesday, I did a little walk. I actually did a walk up back before the run as well on the Monday. I went up with a friend, went for a walk, and did about 20 minutes. It was actually terrible. It's one of these things where I just had to get in some running.
It
And
done.
yeah, so then Tuesday I walked. Wednesday I went back with the group, had a good run with them, did about 3.5 miles, which was pretty pleased with that.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, I did not run. And then yesterday I went back with the group again, but this time I did. They were doing an hour out and back for 30 minutes, but I did 20 minutes with them on the way out, and that was good. Then I turned back, and on the way back for the next like 30 minutes, I was out in total for 50. I did a minute hard, a minute walk.
Okay.
So, and that helped me just get a bit more quality. So I'm pretty pleased at my decision there. So, I've run, yeah. Not quite every other day, but I've tried not to go too long without meaningful exercise. I think the walk I did in the weekend was really good. And then after this, I'm actually going to go for another walk this afternoon. The weather's fantastic,
Yeah.
being outside. So, yeah. And the one thing that's been bugging me is that my calves are really, really suffering because I think my core and my glutes are doing nothing to help me run. So some of the times I've been up and down the hills has been quite noticeable. So I'm on the flat, but I've been looking after my body a bit better. So yesterday was quite a bit better than before. Hoping that in the next week I can manage that. But the sun's out for a lot longer at the moment. The weather's really good. Wednesday was the first day when it was really warm. So I had to think about water again. It's only going to get more pertinent. So yeah, managed it well. Pretty happy.
Well, how warm is it at the moment?
Well, yesterday was about 30 degrees, just under. It's
Woo!
going to be somewhere between 20 and 30 each day.
Okay.
Humidity is low, so the challenge is going to be when the humidity comes up.
Humidity.
Yeah,
Well,
it's going to be.
4 hours. 4 hours walking is pretty good. That's a really solid bit of aerobic exercise. And I guess for you, if you're not running as regularly as you'd like, that's a really good good training, but good base, sort of base fitness. And
Well, the challenge is just as has always been here, having like baseline activity levels that me just tick over. Whereas walking to the train station, walking around town, being in a job teaching when I was walking around, being on my feet all day, none of those things exist anymore. And even if it is possible in parts of the US where I've lived anyway, as it is here, it's so hot in the summer that walking somewhere for convenience is never gonna be
Yeah.
that really good. So take advantage of it at the weekend, and it was good fun. I basically did a proper long run, but I walked it.
That's good. Good job. All right.
That's really it, man. So how about on your end?
Yeah, it feels like it sounds like the same conversation every 2 weeks. So I saw the doctor last week and pleaded to get a MRI, but he said the protocol is ultrasound first. And I've done some research. I mean, ultrasound is not too indifferent to MRI, at least you can see the muscle moving, whereas an MRI is just, it's one image. So which you probably know that already. I've forgotten, it's been so long since I've had either of those. So I'm waiting for the phone call from regarding that. Last week I did three runs, about 3.5 runs of 2 miles, and basically for my runs, it's not right, but it's okay. This week, again, I've just but basically half an hour runs, just start quite slowly, pick them up. I'm finding that when I'm if I try to do drills at the moment or any sort of faster striding, it aggravates it quite a bit. And I think I did yesterday. I ran in the woods for the first time for a while, so quite undulating. And that was great for the heart rate, but yes, my legs, calves a bit, quite a bit sorer than it usually is. Anyway, I'm hoping it's 2 weeks before I get the ultrasound, so it gives me some time. Really, I'm just ticking over. I try to anything between 5, 7 hours training a week. Aerobic exercise, and that's just made up of gym work, cycling. I do try to, as you're saying about baseline activity, I do a fair bit of, well, lots of 10 minutes first traveling to and from school and then walking at school, so that keeps me ticking over, and then yeah, the other stuff on top.
One question then. So I noticed you said that the fast stuff and hills seem to have a bit of a negative impact. Does that mean you're going to stay away from it going forward until you get more feedback, or are you going to try again, or modify what kind of fast stuff, if any, you're doing?
Well, I think the problem with the hills was I was just happy. Well, I wore lower drop shoes, so I'm not sure if so the hills are the problem. It was more that I combined that with quite a lot of change in pace, so it wasn't a steady pace I could control, and I think that aggravates it more so than the actual hills. So I think, yeah, I'm going to try, and I did find that downhill strides. Actually, there's minimal aggravation. At least that's a way to have some turnover. Just to get my legs ticking up. So yeah, but probably will stay away from fast strides, and hopefully get the ultrasound soon, and then at least to get a diagnosis because something's not right. Still doesn't feel. Yeah, I have had thoughts of maybe it's a stress fracture, but it. I can't think it's a stress fracture because I was able to hop in it. I have been able to hop in it. It just gets tighter as I do more running. So that is the lay of the land at the moment. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I can't really plan any races at the moment, so it's frustrating. But yeah, what can you do? Right. So we've heard both of our training the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to go into a deep dive training talk. And this week it's on recovery. So not recovery as in sleep, nutrition, all of that stuff, but recovery in session, during an interval session. Well, generally speaking, anyway, yeah. And when I'll start, when I first started running, I just did the recovery. I did as I was told. Generally, it would be intervals on running quite fast reps on the track, and recoveries were often jog. And that's what I always did, jog recovery all the time. We're told to jog, especially in the winter, to keep warm. It's when I then started to read up about training, and I kind of played around with recoveries a bit more. I'd sometimes stand and jog very slowly if I was trying to, the faster the rep was, because I was doing preparing for a 1500. Occasionally I'd do some 800s, or not 800s, or like 200, 300 meter reps sometimes. If I was really trying to go quickly, and walk the recovery just to focus on the quality. And depending on what you're aiming for, you start to play around with that and ways that you could do if you want to hit VO2 max. Sometimes the recovery, if it's too slow, your heart rate drops too much, and it takes longer to achieve the goal pace or target energy system in the next rep. And yeah, I then remember talking to you, and I did read up on it as well. We came across active recovery, where you'd almost try to run the recovery so you don't fully recover. I'm not going to use the word that this person doesn't like to use. I'll leave it out. And I found out it was really, really, it brought my training on another level. Once you have the fitness to cope with it, the fitness to cope with active recoveries, and that could be something simple as doing, marathon reps and then keeping the recovery very short, so like 3 by 10 minutes, example, 10 minutes would be a marathon, and then the short reps would be that the 1 minute would be rather than an easy jog, it could be a steady jog, so that there isn't the full recovery, and that could progress to splitting between marathon, half marathon reps, where sort of doing 3 by 10, and where the half marathon effort would be say 3 minutes or something, so there's a constant shifting between efforts. Those are my initial thoughts on recoveries that you can play around with. They are really useful, and it really does depend on the experience of the athlete. I think if it's a younger athlete, you've got to be quite careful on how you administer those recoveries, because you don't want to go away from achieving the goal of the session. And Richard, I'll let you come in there.
Damien, yeah. So I guess you're talking a little bit about new interval training. That's what I think Peter Thompson calls it. That's what I'm familiar with. The funny thing is I never really did that as an athlete, but I as a coach have, come across it a lot, used it a lot. Not all the time, but it comes in. So I'm gonna take a step back when it comes to talking about recoveries. So I think my tendency as an athlete was always to try and keep moving, right, during them. And as you say, you're just kind of told what to do when it comes to, well, if you're doing 400s, how much recovery do you get, et cetera, et cetera, and what you do in them. I found that, excuse me, early on in a cycle of training, when I was trying to build fitness, I would give myself more time recovery. I would do exactly the same in that recovery, which would be kind of jogging and moving around, any kind of traditional repetition work. Like, let's say, doing mile reps. I might take 3 minutes early on in a training cycle, and then I would bring it down to 2 minutes, and I'd keep moving, And that's what I've done in the basics. There have been periods of time where I'm in recovery, I keep moving, but I would, if I had a heart rate monitor, I might start the next rep again when my heart rate dropped below 120. Funny story, I once did that in a session of K reps. So I was just doing it around the park. And I would say, oh, I'll try and just go when it gets to 120. And usually I would have taken at least 90 seconds in this kind of session, maybe even 2 minutes. But my heart rate was dropping to 120, even with an active recovery. Like jogging around the rest of the loop, it would drop to 120 in like 40 seconds, 45 seconds. And here's the thing, when I would go into the next rep would be fine. Like it really, really would just be like, it was, anyway. So, well, I guess what I want to talk about when I talk about recoveries is there's a lot of ways to think of it. It's what you're doing during them. It's how much recovery you get as a ratio to the interval. And before even talking about new interval training at all. But I've found simple heuristics took me very, very far as an athlete, and they're also pretty good in coaching because of the simplicity and familiarity of lots of athletes. Oh, we're doing 3K work. Okay, we'll take you equal recovery, jog 200 in that time. Those sort of parameters give enough. But so that's my thoughts there. However, talking briefly about your interval training, there's a lot of discipline, I think, that you gain from that kind of work. And the precursor for me was always think of it in terms of efforts, not speeds. And
Absolutely,
then you get, and I naturally had that kind of position anyway. But as soon as you talk about effort, 1500 meter effort, 5K effort, and a role on being, I mean, I guess the way it was described to me is if you're cycling in a group and there's like a chain gang when you're kind of going through, rotating through, taking turns at the front, the roll on is basically when you come off the pressure on the pedals. You can't just drop back and fall off the back of the group. You still have to work. But practically, it looks like if someone's doing 70-second 400s, a roll on might be 80 to 90 seconds a lap. So it's really still quite quick. And I have found that when I applied that in coaching, athletes have come away like really, really happy with what they've done. The challenge is trying to design a session which accounts for just the amount of clarity an athlete needs. Yes, there we go. So I mean that's my first talk about it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I think it's when I first experimented with the interval training, it was the trying to adapt. It does take I think it's almost as much a mental as a physiological adaptation to the recovery not being a recovery, that shift. And also identifying that it doesn't always work first time. There's a lot of you may have to break what would traditionally would be, say, 10 by 400, whatever. It would now be 10 by 400 versus 10 by 600. You may have to break that into sets because you're physically not capable of running the correct. And we although I've said effort and we said effort, there does come a time where you do want to try and hit a rough mark and see where you are. So yeah, that's when I've coached athletes as well, was the adaptation for them to also recognize that it's okay to split this into sets. It's okay to do a bit less the first time to get used to that flow. And it does take a lot of fitness as well. You do need the fitness to be able to do that properly to actually come away with the goal of the session. But on the other hand, it is okay too. Occasionally, it may not work. The floats may have to, or the not the floats. I used that word. I shouldn't have. The roll-ons. They may have to be reduced in speed or efforts initially, or there may be some. Yeah, there are lots of ways, nuances, the way that you can play around with it. But I just wanted to come up with that. But I'll let you continue.
No, you make a good point. I think my experience with the roll-on has usually been that athletes go too fast on the repetition and the roll-on suffers. So the first thing is to try and, as you say, break it into sets. Sets might be 6 minutes, 7 minutes of total running. And then after that, trying to convince the athlete that running 5K pace is really actually 73s, not 71s. You quickly get to that. And then the roll-ons kind of stay where they would be expected within the range. I have used sets in training and recoveries that, within and between set recoveries for ages, absolutely ages. So I would have a session, say, to set where it might be 16 fours normally. You take your 90 seconds recovery or a minute recovery or equal recovery, whatever it is, right? And you do your movement as much as you can. You try and make 200 meters jog, whatever. But I've split it into four sets or four. And it might be that the first two sets are new interval training where, you have the 100 meter roll on. And then afterwards, you should go back to a more kind of traditional repetition of 90 seconds or a minute. And sometimes that's like case by case, like, the athletes in a session in a group, you might just say, hey, we're going to just switch to doing, traditional repetitions and, you recover as you can for a minute. And that is something to be aware of when playing around with I know we're talking about sessions, but the recoveries, when the recoveries become that abrupt. I really like all types of training. They've all got their place at some time. I've always said to myself as an athlete, keep moving. I think there's a lot to be said, like psychologically, for that. But I think the what I will say about new interval training, I don't want to dwell on it too much, is that the purpose of the recovery is quite specific. So the idea of the roll on there, and I say recovery, but really it's a roll on. is a nuance here, is that you're basically trying to make one system of metabolism, lactodynamics, a bit more prevalent or work on it. So the recovery is intuitively thought of time to sort of get ready for the next repetition. That's not the philosophy when you're doing the interval training. The recovery is the time when your body is trying to optimize a system. So I think, yeah, there's something to be said for how it's framed from the offset as to what you do. Yeah, that's yeah. Over to you, Damon. I think, what do you think about that?
I mean, just to finish, I think with the Peter Thompson and his philosophy, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the point of the recoveries, and it really depends on the session as well, but it was to enable the body to utilize lactate as a fuel. So to enable that shifting, and I mean, lactic acid, lactate is always deemed as an enemy, but for any runner that's running fast, well, any endurance runner, particularly the faster you are, that needs to be your friend as well. You need to be able to cope with high levels of lactate, and be able to shuttle it, because it's the dynamics of shifting it through your body. And as you found, that reducing that recovery, or even in this case, it could be that you go from doing a 5K reps, I think the example of the 400, and your recovery could be, say, at a steady run pace to start with. And then as you get fitter and more adapted to it, I mean, I've done something as hard as, as sort of between 5 and 10K, which is pretty tough. And you've got to be in good shape to do it. But when you do it and you do it well, you know you're in good shape. If you can run whatever it is, 72, 71s, whatever your target pace is, and you do that with control, then it's a real confidence booster. I think we covered most of it there. But the key thing there, one thing you did mention that I thought I'd labour the point again, was that even from a traditional interval session, that you could go from the winter running X seconds per rep with X amount of recovery. So it could be 3 minute reps at this effort or this pace, of a minute recovery. And then as you get fitter, that could be 45, 30 seconds. You can also do sessions where the re recovery reduces during the session as well. And that is a challenging session. So I think there are many, many ways to prescribe a session. And I think the beauty of coaching is that is working out how your athlete can they get the best from that session, and what is the goal of the session, how can they get the best from that session, but also where is the progression in that session or in the training stimulus. And recovery is a great tool to use to facilitate that process.
Yeah, I want to, yeah, re kind of echo that, which is that there's a lot of creativity you can have in a session by mutualizing recoveries. And I found that some athletes respond well, psychologically at least, to certain things. Like you mentioned, change the recovery in a session. I think that's come out as being something powerful. I remember doing I remember a couple of sessions that really had a lot of kind of positive feedback. Were well, one had very negative feedback, but was highly effective. And one was, so it was one session I think people really liked. I remember preparing people for like 10K, and you're used to doing a lot of 400, say, and the psychology for there for me was always the monotony. You want to get it. You kind of want to miss a lot of laps by just knocking out 2400 or something. But it would be again in sets of four or cycles of four, and you essentially take a minute, 45 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, a minute, and you kind of modulate the recovery. And I think sometimes that's, if you bring that in at certain times, it kind of gives like a, when you have the cadence of a race and you have moments where there's the racing is happening, decisions are made, it kind of puts that in to a session. Like safely, and then you can just split back to just going equal recoveries between reps when you've got a lot of reps. The one which didn't get so much feedback that was positive was doing. I remember doing this off the track. It was I did this myself too, 30-second repetitions, and they were basically eyeballs. So from 8:15 pace, but you start out with 90 seconds recovery, as you or even 2 minutes, like you might do on the track, and you go 2 minutes, 1:45, 90 seconds, 75 seconds, sit all the way down to 15 seconds, and then you go back up to get like 90 seconds recovery, come back down. And seeing people, and you just go find a piece of grass and go out and back, out and back. So you find out how far you're going each time, but you're not restricted to a track, and that really went through the gears, just by changing the recovery and changing how much acid you've got in your blood and all these things that, yeah. So yeah,
Yeah,
the creativity of the coach is wonderful in these sessions, as long as you're
yeah,
following some basic principles.
yeah. And you've got to go. I just want to say this, but it just reminded me of a session that I've only done a few times, and it's great to do when you just don't want to go around in circles on the track, and also maybe on your own. And it just gets you. It's long enough. So it's basically 30 second on, 30 second off. And you shift the but basically the aim of the 30 on is either 3 to 5K, 3 or 5K, whatever you feel like, and then the recovery shifts between 10K to 5K, or sometimes a little bit slower. But again, doing that in sets, it could be 10 by 30 on, 30 off, doing it repeatedly. But I think I used to do it sort of 3 sets of those, and I'd leave a couple of minutes jog between. But it's yeah, well, you're not you're just completely gone out of effort. But you just have to pick up. You don't recover, you pick up, don't recover, and it's a quite a long, hard session to do. But it does fly by because you're just focusing on the change your gears every time, change your gears. They kind of you see flip between the two. But yeah.
There's a lot to talk about, I know. The one final thing I'll mention that I don't want to leave off the table is fartleks.
Yes.
And the kind of freedom to recover it's an easy run or during in that environment, I think we naturally talk about recovery in a session, and it goes from a roll on to easy running to standing still. My sort of reflection on this is that you have to start out with what you're trying to achieve, and the rest just falls into place. And there are some really stupid things to do. Like, we're going to do 800s at 1500 meter pace and take 90 seconds recovery. I mean, that's obviously a ridiculous idea.
Please, can I just? I just want to. There was a coach, and
No.
he had a reputation in Harrow. He's not around anymore. And I remember him saying to a group of like mixed ability, right? Session today is 3 by 1200. Yep, that's 1500 meter pace. I think that could be a whole deep dive discussion, coaches and what they do and don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, but I'm assuming there's a foundation of like, if you're doing 3K work, it's equal recovery there or thereabouts. If you're doing, 5K work, it's two thirds or so. These are ideas you can apply to build upon. But after that, there's still a huge amount of flexibility.
Super. Okay, thank you, Richard. That was a really interesting discussion, and that used your great knowledge and experience in the field. So, okay, I'm gonna let you go. Hope that you can continue training. Hope does well. Gets humid, drink some water, run earlier, run later, whatever's got to be done. Keep walking, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Damien.
Okay, cheers then. See ya.